Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment.
With Kat and Pat.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm Kat.
And I just so happen to be Pat. And this just so happens to be Seek Treatment.
And life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
And this just so happens to be a podcast that just so happens to be about boy sex, fucking dating, and just so happening to be in love.
Here's a question. Did my boyfriend text you about something?
Yeah, you guys are both welcome anytime.
I know. It's so annoying. I actually can't even at this point talk about it. I've been taking this medicine for my PCOS that has to be refrigerated. And it's a family joke because every single city I go to, I leave it there. So the fact that I'm just so grateful you picked it up because it's so expensive.
Hey, that's crazy.
But I am going to come get it probably maybe today or tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, I have to say something to you. I got a little used to living with you. I missed it.
I know. Well, it was actually so sad when you and Angel left the last day. So I was like, what it was giving was like, you know, on the real world, there's always the last person to leave the house. And they kind of go in the confessional one last time. And they say, like, I grew up in my time in Chicago. I grew up here. And whatever comes next, Kara, Kyle, Carrie, Anissa, Theo, Tanya,
is what happens when you're busy making
Chris, we are going to have gone through something that no one else can ever understand except for the seven of us. And
life is what
happens. No matter what fights you got into, the walls of this house have seen some blowouts. But we are family forever.
Honey, the only place I want to see blowouts is Dry Bar. Okay. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't feel funny, but I'm like, okay, whatever. This is one fine.
I'm feeling kooky malulu.
I was having an experience. Do you ever think, I was just having an experience this morning. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be funny, like, at all. You know what? Okay, so many gay people have been telling me about something.
I can't wait to hear what this is.
you were there when the first gay person told me about it. And then you're going to be shocked to learn that the next time I saw a gay person, that next gay person told me about
it. Okay, well, let's.
And I was like, this is something gays are going gaga for.
Gays are going gaga for. Drum roll, please.
The energy drink Celsius.
Oh my God, gays are going goo goo galoo for gaga.
Gays are gooing on the inside.
Oh my God.
Melting your mouth for this energy drink. What happened was first.
It's giving me, it's giving Four Loko vibes. Like it's going to be like illegal soon or something. Like, what could it possibly be made of? Does anyone know about Celsius?
What can it be made of? It's like kind of vintage in the energy drinks like space because it looks like it's big on the can and being like it raises your body whatever to like temp to like burn fat even faster. And it's like no one's really like doing that. No one's really like believing that about energy drinks anymore. So like maybe we don't even try to like lie to us about it. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Anyways, I had a Celsius this morning because I ordered it from Uber Eats, actually.
How do you feel? You know, you really got me into Postmates. Ever since LA, I've been postmating my Starbucks coffee to my mouth, which is humiliating.
Well, I know.
And don't either, and if you're mad that I'm doing that, I am mad too. If I was an ounce less lazy, I've been so busy, honestly.
Never forget early on living here when I when I Postmated or Uber Eats a Starbucks box of joy to my apartment was sitting on my couch.
Yeah.
While my sexual partner was naked in the next room and talking to you guys on the phone. And then there was the Postmates delivery person that was inside my apartment, inside, walking around. I didn't understand what was going on.
The files were inside the computer in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay, the actual, first of all, there's so much to talk about because our trip to LA was so honestly amazing.
Yeah.
I want a few things to touch on. Stay with me. Miley's house. Two, me getting absolutely rejected from the Step and Repeat at the Hacks premiere. Three, guess what happened? First of all, yesterday, I actually feel crazy. Yesterday, first of all, do you see what a good run I did?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
It was my best run in a while. So the issue was, not the issue, the thing that happened was, the issue was that I was getting dinner with a friend who lives right by Prospect Park. I said, you know what, girl, it's Sunday, it's self-care. There's some kind of eclipse going on because TikTok told me that. I took the train to Prospect Park. I'm like, for vintage time's sake, I'm going to loop de Lululemon around this park.
Yeah.
And I was high on life because I was full hermit mode activated all Saturday. Like, literally have not lifted a finger in 2 days. I feel incredible. Yeah. I feel incredible. Incredible. Wait,
I have a question. Did you run before meeting them for lunch?
Yeah, before dinner. I just went to their house.
Dinner.
You know, it's the perfect setup where I'm friends with this couple. It's Catherine, who you were at my house with.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just go to their house and we like order food and I sit with the dog and like watch crappy TV.
I love that. No, I can't do that because I sweat too much and they run in dripping, soaking.
I was sweaty, but I also the whole story is that I did a little walk. I ran 3 miles, which was actually easier than I thought it was going to be. And although I did have some Achilles pain and hot assistant Carly brother told me that I should roll out my foot with a tennis ball.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, yeah, you can do that.
But for me, Achilles, I was like, it must be like a calf thing, but he was saying it's probably a foot thing.
Well, it's all connected. It could be both.
You're telling me my foot's connected to my leg? You're taking crazy pills.
Okay, remember the famous song about like things being connected? Take your arm and connect it to your other bone. No, because it's not like
you put your right foot in.
Hokey Pokey is just about like body parts, but then there's the other song about body parts being connected.
Oh, hands, like, shoulders, knees and toes.
No, that's also just about body parts. Hokey Pokey and hands, shoulders, knees and toes are just about body parts. There's a separate song, a third song that's part of that family of songs. That's not only about just the body parts, like there you are, but it's specifically about the idea, the concept that these body parts are connected. So it's like your hand bone's connected to your arm bone.
Bone's
connected to your
arm bone. That to me, that's more in the Baby Shark family.
Arm bone. No, that's so funny.
It's rock. It's rock. My songs were fun. My songs were folk songs. Yours are rock. Your songs are rock.
No, it's conceptually totally in the family with Hokey Pokey and
Head, Shoulders, and Toes.
Those two songs are just about like, hey, like, these are body parts that we have. Whereas the unnamed song that I'm talking about is about, like, it takes that. It's like, yeah, these are all body parts, but how about this? Let's add this idea. They are connected to each other. Traditionally in a body.
Sing that song though, because I'm not as familiar.
It's just like you have to know all the bones. It's like your knee bones connected to your leg bone, your leg bones connected to your groin bone.
don't mind if I do.
Anyways,
my Achilles was hurting, but I had a really vintage run in that I ran farther than 1 mile. I ran three actually, and I felt really good.
Yeah.
And then this is actually crazy what happened. This is full lady in a movie. So first of all, I'm walking after my run, I'm walking through the park and I run into dear friend of the pod, Chris Murphy. We're talking. I'm like, oh, that was so fun. I knew I'd run into someone. Then I'm walking and then I hear someone on their bike yell, Catherine. And I'm like, okay, a fan. No, not a fan. Guess who it was?
Oh God, I'll have to have a hint.
My college boyfriend that I haven't seen in 5 American years, who is really? Not, who
the one who asked you not to contact him?
Yeah, the one who asked me not to contact him. I also have an interesting relationship with him because I don't think he's on social, or if he is, like I unfollowed him years ago. So it's actually vintage in that I have no idea what's going on with him.
Yeah.
And it was such a sweet, he was so nice. It was such a good really? Interaction. And ready for the line, he was like, I'm getting married in 3 weeks. I was like, oh my God, I'm so That's, happy for you.
Yeah, that is the beginning of a movie.
It was, I was like, I'm so happy for you. And yeah, it was honestly like really nice. It was like full closure vibes. I was like, I literally apologized for being a psycho. I was like, sorry, I was psycho and horrible to date. He's like, it's okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, that's either beginning of a movie or it's like end of the second act.
It was like end.
Of second act.
Well, I was thinking about it because after I left him, I just felt really like peaceful when it's like we were on and off for a long time and it was really fucking always tumultuous. Not even tumultuous. I was just like, it was so intense. And so I just remember feeling so intense about him for so long. And then it was so beautiful that when I left him, I was like, oh, like the end of our chapter, like peace. Like it was, I'd always envisioned like when you're in college, you're like, one day we're all going to get married and like, we're going to find out and it's going to be dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had a sixth sense. He was married. So I was like, oh, I had a sixth sense. You were married. He was like, well, not yet. And I'm like, okay. anyways, and then it was really, really nice. So he's such a sweetheart. It was so beautiful. And then I was walking away and I was like having my movie moment. And then I was thinking also about how when I ran into Brian after our breakup, I was like literally going to puke after I saw him. And I was like, oh, car.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I remember that when you saw him.
That's how you know. Anyways, it was so late in a movie. It was so vintage. Shout out. If my ex and his fiance listen to the pod, I love y'all. I hope you're, I'm happy for y'all. And sorry that I have a podcast where I talk about this kind of thing.
So then you got rejected from the 7 Repeat.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so then I got rejected from the 7 Repeat. I have to shout out. I mean, it was so humiliating in a really beautiful way that kept me really grounded. It was
totally.
I'm talking a lot, by the way. Are you mad?
No, I'm so fine with that.
Okay, good. I feel like for me and you, like our LA trips always start like it's magical. Like we were having such a good trip. Yeah. And in the last few days, like we have to get out of here. And if anything tells you need to leave LA, it's when a girl in a green dress, it's when a beautiful girl in a green dress tells you, hold, please. I don't have your name. I don't have your name. And I was like, okay. And then she asked if I was, she was like asked if I was like Maze. Significant other. I was like, no, I'm just like my own person.
I'm actually my own significant other.
Yeah, I'm significant to myself and to my me only. So then I was kind of just like standing there, and then
I wonder if they would have let me walk it had I tried. Probably not.
One would hope.
I mean,
you were involved in the production after all. You wrote the damn thing.
It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to those.
Anyways,
those
it was really
types.
Humbling.
It doesn't matter the girls in the green dresses.
It was my fault because I came with Meg. She was like sent through a special what's the word I'm looking for? What's the vintage word for hallway? Corridor. She was sent through a special corridor for the famous, and I was sent to girl turn around in your Zara, get a canned wine, and attend the event like the rest of us.
Yeah.
You have to
love it. It's so funny. You love a story like that, though.
You do. It really...
Stories like that are what make... It's what make the world go round.
It's also like, if stories like that didn't happen, we wouldn't necessarily have a podcast, would we?
I know. I'm like annoyed because I like, want to talk about something myself. Like, I can't.
Oh, my God. I want to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, nothing, really. It's so annoying. What? I don't know. But anyways,
how about you tell me the emotion and not the actual thing?
Honestly, mixed. Sorry, I'm being so like Katana. Oh my God, The Wild season 2 came out. It's like so annoying. Everyone that just like starts being catatonic, but I like don't understand why. Like I either wasn't watching or they just didn't tell us why a girl was suddenly catatonic. And a huge plot point for like the last three episodes, it's like all the girls like trying to get her not to be catatonic anymore, but she just like still is.
You know, I started watching the first episode of Conversations with Friends, the other Sally Rooney show. It's so it's so good, Pat. I can't ever feel horny for a male blonde. But Taylor Swift's husband or whatever, Joe Alwyn, is really horny in it.
Wait, really?
Well, he's such a specific type of person that I know so well.
I kind of forget that whole book. Is it Married Guy and Young Girl? Is that the vibe?
Yeah, it's. I think it's much better than... I think it's my favorite of her books.
I remember liking it better than Normal People, but I didn't actually... For both of them, when I didn't read them, I didn't say... Mr. Hulu, you need to be making a show of this because this book is asking to be made a show by Mr. Hulu.
The cast is incredible. It's Taylor Swift's husband.
Wait, boyfriend. Are you being real when you say that?
What do you mean?
Like, is Taylor Swift like married?
They've been dating, and I've heard rumors that they're married.
Are you serious?
Or I've heard rumors that they're engaged. No, but you know what? Where did I hear that? Anyways, they're dating. Taylor Swift's boyfriend, who I bet she will marry. And I can't wait for that album. I love her so much and I'll never change. Taylor Swift's boyfriend, Jemima Kirk, who's the hottest woman alive. Some beautiful Irish actress who looks like, you know, just giving drama school vibes. And then the amazing actress from... Do you ever see that movie American Honey?
No, is it good?
I don't remember if I liked it, but the girl in it is really good and she's in it.
I don't remember her name. I haven't watched it. Even if I don't remember what happened in
what's
the book.
What's her name?
It's hard to... It's so much easier even just to watch a movie of a book than it is to watch a Hulu limited series of a book. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I was wrapped. My attention was literally wrapped. Spotify wrapped. My attention was my Spotify wrapped 2019. I have to make two announcements. One... Some of the songs from my Netflix special are on Spotify. Go stream. Two, we're doing a live show in Brooklyn literally next week. I don't think we've even announced it yet. On the 26th.
Yes.
Please buy tickets.
I'll post today. Wait, sorry. I'm like having a panic attack because I'm being so not funny and not interesting. But whatever.
No, I'm just like literally not stopping talking because I've been up and I had a bunch of coffee.
I had a Celsius.
Maybe that's why you're anxious.
Can you believe that 2 days in a row, two different gay people told me about Celsius? Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
My new thing is going to bed early and waking up early. Allison, you look so beautiful, by the way. We have to admit. Is it that new boyfriend glow?
Hello.
Hello.
Warning, hello, I've been being so boring already. I haven't been thinking about anything to say despite having a new kind of energy drink that two gay people told me about 2 days in a row. And leave that in the pod. Leave it in the podcast.
We have an amazing guest girl today. Guest. Put your ears open for the fabulous Jess Henderson. Welcome to the pod.
Hi, Jess. Welcome to the pod. Funniest stand-up around. How are you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I got caught up. I was listening to Rent this morning. I got all the way up. And then I was just watching Meg Thee Stallion perform at whatever. Oh, I guess there was an award show last night. I don't know.
There's always an award show the most random collection of my gay mutuals were like tweeting so aggressively about. I'm like, literally.
So what was it last night?
I don't know. I never know.
But
the
also,
award
I feel
show.
Like we're in a really special year in which there's like two of every award show because we like missed 2 years. Everyone's like, the Met Gala again. It's the Met Gala tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, let's just skip it.
I was watching her look fine hell.
We can definitely curse. I'm like, my open asshole was gaping. You're like, can we curse?
Yeah, I was like, wow. How is she that fine?
Oh my god.
And when you say you're listening to Rent, does that mean you're listening to like all the songs on Rent?
All the songs on Rent, not the movie.
Yeah.
Respect to the movie. But I'm like old school. Like I did my New York trip. in high school and saw it while it was on Broadway. So I was listening to original cast.
You know what's so embarrassing is that I got really, really into the movie soundtrack my freshman year of high school. And I had an iPod mini that was bright blue.
Okay, go off.
And I would, it had my initials engraved. It was a graduation gift. And I would listen. I had no friends. So I would sit in the library study rooms and listen to the Rent movie soundtrack and be like, will you light my candle?
Okay. I also did. I mean, hello, the movie came out. So obviously we were all obsessed, but I always go back to the original cast recording. I was fully singing one song, Glory, this morning. Like,
how did you feel about, didn't a few years ago they did like one of those sad TV musicals? Remember that?
Did they?
Those are always really sad when they decide to take that out.
When they were doing the live blockbuster musical type situation.
Yeah, like I remember they did Hairspray. It was like really
Saw The Little Mermaid and I was like, the way you just played parts of the movie in a big space.
You play parts of the movie in a big space, you're doing a play. It's
yeah, it's like, wait. I felt low-key ripped off. I was like, wow, you're still using this content, making billions of dollars. Okay. No. Okay.
Now, wait. I have actually a question.
You know, I have to talk about something.
Wait.
You have some gorgeous sticky notes behind you, and you look like a true creative, and I need to ask
you. Yeah. We have a true creative.
This is my stand-up. It's like how I work out my
Oh, my God. Wait, that's so cool. That. Are you someone who might just...
Yeah, and then that's my, like, my ancestral protection mask, so that's how I, like, get my...
Oh, my God. Okay. And they're friends.
Amazing collab.
Go off.
Wait, are you someone who can just sit down and do you like write a joke? You might just sit down and write a joke.
No, absolutely not. Which is why it's like on post-its. I have ADHD. Mm. So, and I truly shout out to Kendall Payne. I actually stole this from her because I was like, okay, an earth sign, grounded. Yeah. Okay, that's how she organizes all her jokes. So this is the way that I can like word vomit, and then instead of forget, like I'll see it every day, and then I like.
Oh, that's so smart! I need to.
These aren't even full jokes. They're like.
So when do you write down the stickies? Is my question.
Honestly, all throughout the day.
Oh wow, you're kind of inspiring me because I need some say with me new jokes.
I need new jokes so bad.
All throughout the day, like, and sometimes they're not even funny. Like at the bottom, what did I write? I wrote something about, I was reading a study. Well, now it's a joke, but I read a study about mushrooms having a language. And so I just wrote that.
Yeah.
Wrote that down. And now I make jokes about
it.
Or I was thinking about how, so weird, but I was thinking about how trees normally in a forest can communicate. because their roots are all connected. And so I've been thinking a lot about how the trees in New York can't do that because they're in cement boxes. Oh, and then I wonder why there's so much pollen.
Because they're screaming out.
They're like overexerting.
My name is George. They're screaming to one another.
They're all named exactly. George for no reason.
Yeah, so I've just been thinking about that. And those ideas just float around until I think of like a funny way to connect.
That's smart because I feel like I'll really keep smart. Like notes in my phone app, but then I never look at it. And then I'm like already on my phone.
Yeah, I never look at it again.
I think.
I'm not the bitch. And I'm not the bitch with the notebook either.
Yeah.
Moleskine notebook.
Yeah.
Like, I just have... Yeah, I'm not that either.
Sometimes I'm that bitch, but in a really misguided way. Sometimes I'm holding a book in a really misguided way.
Wait, you know, I watched, there's this new, did you hear about, a few years ago, there was a story about a doctor in Ohio who was a fertility doctor, and he kept artificially inseminated.
Watching it last night.
Okay, so Pat, he artificially inseminated.
Oh, I just saw a commercial for this.
Donors. And it's so basically he ended up having like what, like 100 kids?
Yeah.
But so I was watching it the other night with my brother and I kept laughing alone to myself because every time they'd be like, and it was the DNA was 100%. And I was like, 100% that bitch, Lizzo. And I was like, my brother was like, stop making the same joke over and over again. I was like, and the DNA results showed they were 100%. that bitch.
That bitch. That's how jokes start, I feel, for me.
You never know.
Jokes start as like a compulsion of something that I wanted to say in public, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But I did because I knew it wasn't appropriate. And then
I don't know how jokes start for me, and that's a problem I'm having because none of them.
You always say that. You always say that, but then you, whenever you get on stage, you do have new stuff.
I don't. I have since pandemic, I have literally three new things. One of them I hate.
I have
it.
Two.
One of them I hate. No, you don't. You don't want to do one of them. I hate. And it doesn't count anymore because I'm not doing it. The other one isn't even like doesn't have anything that's a punchline about
it. But it works. But it works.
I'm gonna try your method.
Sometimes, yeah.
But why? I've seen. We've been on multiple shows. Yes. And you've been like, it's not gonna be good. And then you.
I know.
No, but that's because Jess, look at me. No, that look at me. That's because when I'm saying it's not gonna be good, that's when I'm like still in a place of like maybe I'll try something new. Maybe I won't just do this. Uh-huh. Time, like whatever, whatever, whatever. And then that's actually when I'm in my it's not gonna be good place. And then I usually just kind of like abandon everything and just
do the tried and true.
Do the tried and true. And then it's like, of course it'll go, you know what I mean? It's like, of course these scenes.
Right.
I feel like I have jokes that I've done. Okay. And also I just went and saw Jess Tom and Jess Tom, like their top joke. They have been telling that same joke for 10 years.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Sometimes I get such solace from seeing other performers like doing that. And like, I respect like it is.
And it's truly, if you were like, okay, here I go. But you know, as comedians, it is the audience, and that's what we play. And it, even though it's the same joke, it is different for every audience. Mm-hmm. And that's really the like artistry of stand-up.
Totally.
So, yeah, I think that your stuff is still relevant. It's not like the way we beat ourselves up, and there are men who cannot be named who say the same shit over and over again. It's not even funny.
I know.
It's not even funny.
It is interesting because it's like, I do think once you get so bored of a joke in a way that I am of truly every joke I have, like you do start just to keep yourself like alive, for lack of a better word. You like just start adding to it or like finding new things that are funny about it to you because like you have to keep yourself engaged.
And, yeah. I did literally the exact same show for 5 American years.
Yeah.
That's fine. Wait, but Jess, I want to hear about your journey to stand up. So we always ask on this pod, who were you? Who are you?
And who do you want to be?
Okay. Wow.
Let's dive in.
So who was I? Well, I was a military kid. So we moved around a lot and I was always in spaces where I had to make new friends. And my most like formative years, we moved to Florida and my brother and I thought it was going to be like palm trees and beach and nice people. But we moved to Panama City, Florida, which is like lower Alabama, Georgia. And it was really, really racist. And that was like my first time I actually understood that people just hated me because I was Black. And humor, not as I was doing it, because I'm like not a therapist, but now that I've been in therapy, humor was a way that I could like preserve myself and disarm people, like a lot of people that were scared of me or thought I was going to be a certain type of way. So I've always been really funny. And then I did, of course, I was a theater kid.
Rent. Off. Circle back to the Rent trip.
Yeah. And I just would always play like, even if the character wasn't supposed to be funny, I would make them really funny. Like I played the mom in Bat Boy and she was the clown.
Wait, yeah. I love Bat Boy so much.
Bat Boy is one of my favorite musicals.
Oh my god, I need to see you in Bat Boy. Oh, so you
can, oh my god.
Sang your face off. That role is crazy.
Bat Boy is camp and it's everything you need.
We need a revival.
And
Into the Real is so good.
I was not a theater kid. I just never could be for some reason. But way you're talking about
in
it,
a lot of ways, we are the worst.
What did you say?
Well, I just like. Well, I didn't feel like I would have been allowed to be funny or something in a play. Or you know what I mean? Or I didn't think. I didn't think about it that way. Where I was like, oh, you can just like be funnier.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was not directed that way. Like. I used to get in trouble for doing that, like really going out of my way to be too funny. I moved to, like every kid with a dream. I moved to New York.
How old are we talking?
19. I went to, or like just like the summer right after I graduated high school.
Wow. The absolute baby infant.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
I moved here in 2008. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was going to acting school and I really felt like I was going to be a serious actress.
Let me ask Classic. You, do you sing? Are you a singer as well?
Yeah, I can sing, but I'm not going to be dumb enough to like go to a Broadway musical open call.
Like, I'm like, if you're singing Bat Boy, you definitely sing. That role's insane.
Yeah, like I wouldn't. To be honest, I'm like, if I ever make it on a Broadway musical, it will be because I have a name and they need a name, yes, for the show.
Absolutely.
And then we'll hire a voice coach to be as good as everyone else. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's my exact plan. I'm like, just keep going. Do that 3-week run.
Yeah, like, I can definitely carry a tune and I can sing. So I moved here and I was doing the whole acting thing. And I ended up doing a web series like we all did.
Mm-hmm.
and the web series, I was really funny. And I would start going out for stuff and people would automatically assume that I had gone to UCB or had been a part of it. And I was like, what is this all about? So I started doing improv.
And then I got
to the point where I was like, I love improv, but I am sick of considering like 12 other people's feelings about what
I'm doing. I know. It is so freeing when you finally start doing improv and you're like, oh, because like improv, it can be so fun, but you do have to like, there's something this culture so around it where it's like, forget about being funny. Okay. That's take it off the table. We're trying to be good friends to each other on stage. And like, that doesn't sound fun or cool.
Which I'm for, but it's like, bro, I'm not going to continue to do shows at midnight for four people.
Yeah.
Like, I want a career and I don't want to feel bad for wanting a career.
Totally.
Jeff,
totally.
You really just took me to a place, like the sense memory you just evoked of being in the, what's the basement of that bar on like 7th
Triple
Avenue?
Crown.
Yes, basement of Triple Crown.
Oh my God,
for quite literally 6 or 7 people with 12 on stage, of course.
Yeah. With 12 on stage and 3 of the 12 are in a fight. And one of the 12 is being creepy and weird to all the girls on the team. Like, I can't.
me being like, why am I gaining weight? Because I have 3 IPAs every day.
Exactly. I would love for someone to give me a printout that said, like, the amount of hours, like, or minutes, seconds I spent in Triple Crown in the year 2013, we'll say. Because it would be a dark number. It would be very, very high. You know, I loved it, too.
But I was like, I want to start... I was super scared and I also was like kind of on a spiritual journey and I knew because I was scared, it was something I needed to do by myself.
Oh.
And I just started doing stand up. And
how'd you make that leap? Cause that's a crazy leap.
Like, yeah.
It feels insane, doesn't it?
Because people would ask me at shows, like, do you do stand up?
Mm.
And then eventually I started being like, yeah, I will, I can, I want to try it. And I started doing like other people's shows, or I would do stand up and then also I would improvise with my team, which I'm still on to this day. I was like, guys, I'm putting improv, MMB, I love them.
Oh my gosh. Like, wait, what's improv, your team?
What?
What's your team?
It's My Mama's Biscuits.
It's my God.
Team.
Oh my
I'm God. Never. I'm incredible. Never going to leave them.
Of course.
I'm putting improv. I don't want to let the team down. I don't want to do shows. And they're like, okay, fine. You don't do shows, but like, you're still on this team.
You're on the emails.
Wait, you're going to get the
They're like,
you
don't have to read any of the emails, but we're a family for life.
That's heaven.
We are at a place where now it would be fun.
We did a throwback show. And it was so much fun. And also all of us are stand-ups individually now. So
amazing.
Everybody's doing great. So I started doing stand-up and then I would get better and better shows.
We have a question about what was your first, do you remember your first stand-up show?
I don't remember my first stand-up show, but I remember 2 shows that it like locked in for me.
Mm.
And one I did, it was right when Open Flame was first starting. And I did 5 minutes on Open Flame. And it was the first time that I wrote jokes that weren't social commentary and that I thought was funny. It was jokes about like my real life experiences being a babysitter, which is where, like raising 3 white kids to become a strong black woman. That's where I wrote that joke.
Oh,
it was Open Flame. And I wrote it on my phone like 2 minutes before I was about to go up. And then Peter Smith has always been so nice to me.
Yeah,
and they put me on Pig.
Oh, and, yeah. That show was so fun.
Yeah. And then I was.
Yeah, that was.
And that's how I met. Ended up meeting AD Bryant because she saw me on like Sandy's Instagram. And that's how I got on Shrill, is because
wow.
AD
saw me.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So those were the cool. two things that I was like, click.
I do feel like it's always, you grow up like wanting to be an actor and then you're like, the path that's there doesn't make any sense for me. So like, how am I going to go around it? And then
it doesn't make any sense.
You're going to go to 7th Avenue and 30th Street. You're going to go to the basement.
Literally.
You're going to do an improv show for about 2 years.
But also people like, I feel like people like us don't, when you go to school for a BFA, they act like that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
They act like
I would be told like, oh, you're like Viola Davis. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
I hear you, but no, I'm not. I hear what you're saying, but no, I'm not.
Oh my God. I remember one time I was in this like acting class and the woman was going to go around and kind of literally tell us like what our stereotypes were, like what kind of type we'd play. And she looked at me and she was like, you're just, you're like a girl. You're like a normal girl. I was like, no, I'm not a normal girl.
I never did an acting class, but I wonder if I'd like it. But we got into stand up a similar way, Jessica. That was like very like, you can, I feel very in a way lucky that like by the time I started doing stand up, knew enough people from like the UCB world that had shows that I could just like do and didn't have to do a ton of like rando open mics because those are
right.
Can be such hell. I don't think I ever really did one, to be honest.
I did it to do it. And then I was like, oh, this is not for me. My way is just doing a bunch of shows. And it definitely made the process longer because unfortunately stand-ups are very much like, well, I haven't seen you, so you must not be good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I realized like lately that's been my greatest weapon is being underestimated. And I really, really enjoy it. And I now understand that it's like a cloak of protection because people will siphon less from you when you're underestimated, like energy wise. And it's my favorite thing to like,
go
to. Honestly, like I'm horny for being treated poorly and then doing really, really, really well. And then that whole like watching the damage control that happens after is like,
oh my God, have
that. Isn't that so crazy?
There's like, nothing like
what are
that.
You're doing? They're like, you're doing a song. Okay. Okay, whatever. And then afterwards you're like, hey, that was like actually cool.
They're like, okay, what's your handle?
Yeah.
It's like, I've been following you for 2 years. Yeah, responding to the show.
That is so real. It is, it's a bizarre world. I feel like it was so magical though. I'd been in New York a couple years, but had no idea about like the alt comedy scene or whatever. And then I feel like when I started meeting people, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this all exists. I felt so lucky.
Right. Right.
I remember Mitra and I wanted to try stand up and we were so nervous and we made ourselves go to a mic in the UCB East and we were literally, I'm not kidding, both of us were like holding a PBR, like we both said one word and we're like, thank you, like did horrible. But I had to like break the seal with someone because I was so scared.
It was just so fucking funny.
So funny. It was so nice. I saw her show in LA and it was like, I hadn't seen her do a solo set in so long, I was like dying.
I've never seen her stand up, but I am obsessed with the things that she says. And loved Human Resources. I was
I love it too.
I was really, really into all the hidden gems.
Yeah, that show was really funny.
Then my question is like, as you were in New York, you know, going to school, finding your stand up voice, what was happening interpersonally? Like, were you in love? Were you dating? Were you out and about? What was your vibe? I want to hear about the spiritual journey too.
Okay. So when I first started stand up, I had like just come out. So I was kind of feeling myself as a baby queer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I did end up meeting someone and and that love and that tenderness really made me feel safe enough to say it with my full chest, like, I want to be a stand-up.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
And it was the first time I don't really do relationships. Like, I'm an Aquarius, so I'm a bit of a loner. So it was the first time in a long time that I shared like my intimate space. And I really had like a level of intimacy and support that I'd never had before. And that met with a lot of, I was focusing a lot on, I basically started to realize like in the end of my improv days that a big fraction of my time needed to be spent alone, even though that felt scary, because before it was spent in like very codependent friendships where I was very supportive. You know, like I had so many girlfriends before I had an actual fucking girlfriend. I supported so many straight women.
I bet. And,
I realized like, oh, I need to spend more time by myself and be honest with myself about what it is that I was asking for. Because for the longest time, I'd be like, you know, I'm not really a part of the scene. Like, I don't really care. Like, I'm not really about that life. Like, you know, I'm not gonna sit out here and audition and wait. Because when I first came to New York, we were all like, I auditioned for Hair the Musical after I like spent the night outside the public. Like I was like doing open calls and stuff like that. And I mean, now I realize those things are a joke, but we can unpack that later.
I have a question about when you came out, how old were you, if you feel comfortable saying?
I do. I think I was like 27 or 28.
Cool.
And had you been in relationships before with
No one was associated like... with my coming out. Because I was working on myself, I got to the point where I was very much like respectfully to my parents. I do not, as hurtful as it would be if you guys never speak to me again or you don't support me, I know that I will be okay.
Yeah.
And I basically came out to my parents by saying, you know, I respect you and love you guys too much to not tell you the truth about who I am. Just a bit of a manipulative psychic. Yeah. But it was the truth. It was like, I love myself and you, so I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And it was like, my mom had a bit of a hard time with it just because she was like, I asked you your whole life and you kept telling me no. And I was like, yeah, you're my mom. You fucking knew. Like, what?
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to tell you.
And were you raised religiously?
Huh?
Were you raised religiously?
No, I wasn't. I mean, my parents gave us church as an option and we went, but it was never... I was raised religiously because I was in Panama City, Florida, which is the Bible Belt, and you can't drive more than 2 minutes without hitting a church. So it was all around.
Oh my God.
But I think I was so caught up in other people's experiences of me and so overcrowded by society that I hadn't even really taken the time to realize, like, I don't even know who I am. I'm so overstimulated by, and I think once I started spending a lot of time by myself and connecting back to my history and like my ancestors, I realized like, oh my God, I'm fucking gay. Honestly, getting
spend like, too much time alone.
Yeah.
And you'll get pretty gay.
Yeah. And also getting more involved in my own like Black culture, because gayness and all that is very, very indigenous. That's
so you're Aquarius sun. What are the moon and rising? What are we working
on? I'm Aquarius sun, Virgo rising, which is why this worked. And then I'm a Pisces moon.
Oh my God. Do you know that I'm Virgo moon, Pisces rising?
Wow. 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 Wow.
Wow.
I only know my main is Scorpio.
But, we gotta get you. I'm sure David Odyssey or Ruby knows your others.
I know. I think they do.
Yeah,
they do.
So then, how did you meet this woman who was your first relationship?
Who rocked your world?
How did you meet this woman who rocked your world, man?
I met her because she was on a solo trip to New York.
Oh my God!
From
Vancouver, Canada. And I thought, oh wow, this will be really easy, like hump and dump. It was very casual, but we had a great friendship. We had great friend chemistry. And we dated for like, we just recently broke up back in January, which is so
Oh wow, that's really recent.
Yeah, it's so heartbreaking. But we did
have a great ride.
Yeah.
How many years was that?
Almost four.
Damn.
Yeah, almost four.
How are you feeling now?
I feel good. I feel really good now. Obviously, I was devastated. And there's a lot of time and place that and healing that has to happen that is so like growth, healing. I used to always think that it would be easy because you've grown, right? So you're at a higher place, you're in higher healing. And that is not the case. You still will lose things that you really, really want, even though they're not good for you and you know it. But yeah, I feel good now, but it was hard.
Why do you think it ended?
And did you live together?
No, we didn't live together. I think it ended because truthfully, I think it ended because you outgrow people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it ended the way it ended because it's hard to say that you've just like outgrown someone and it's time to move on. It's easier to like villainize people and say like you did this and this. It's much easier to just villainize than to just be honest and be like,
fuck,
we've come at a crossroads and we like the directions that each one of us need to go is not in the same direction.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And you're right. It still is such a success.
But yeah.
It feels in the moment. So I'm like, that was 3 years of my life. Like, what have I been doing?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, a lot. I did a lot during that.
Right. Time. Oh, right. And you know, when you first break up, you just want to be like, like about the.
Yeah, kind of exactly like that.
But the truth is, it's like that's all. You're also being mean to yourself when you do that because like. What about your taste? What about your trusting your instinct? And I trust in my instinct and I feel good about the choices that I made.
It's so hard not to be mean to yourself. It really, really is.
I mean, it's my God. Greatest past.
Almost everything you do, you realize you're being absolutely cruel to yourself. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
how do you stop yourself from being so mean to yourself? Because I all day, the way I talk to myself, I'm like, it's horrible. I would never say that to my friend.
I got really, I started this practice, which didn't end up being something that I could sustain, but it really broke through, which is I would write like all the mean things that I thought in my morning pages. And then I would look at the mean things and then write an affirmation that was like a direct, like the vaccine for the mean thought. Like, no.
Nope. Yeah.
That
okay.
I was like, the vaccine. Like,
she's being Pfizer towards us. She's being Pfizer towards us. Do you do Artist's Way?
I did do Artist's Way, which is why I still have the morning pages practice.
Yeah.
But now my morning pages practice is morphed into just that, like, I always have a sacred morning. And I have to understand the fact that I have ADHD. So everything I do has to be in flow because I also am really good at just being ashamed. Like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I can't even keep up this practice for X, Y. And it's like, that's not who I am. Sometimes my morning pages is abstract drawing. Sometimes my morning pages is listening to Rent the Musical and dancing my little ass off.
Yeah.
Just giving myself time to be weird, really.
Do you wake up the same time every day?
I need to have sacred mornings.
Yes.
Badly.
I do and I don't. So I have like, if I have a night of shows, I just turn off my alarm and I wake up whenever I wake up and I do the same. Yeah. I do the same thing every morning, which is like the minute I wake up, I shove all of my pillows underneath my belly and I sit in child's pose for like 5 minutes and breathe.
Oh my God, heaven. I thought you were going to say I shove all my pillows down my throat the second I wake
inside
up.
Inside my
I get absolutely lit as fuck.
Yeah, I sit and I breathe because I, for the longest time, would wake up panicked. Like I forgot something and like I was late. So I need that breath to remind myself like, actually nothing has happened yet today, Jess. Like nothing has happened.
Literally so smart because I've been waking up literally so depressed every day, literally so miserable. Like, so
you know, like, I have to say, Pat, I think that my I just upped my Prozac like about a month ago, and I actually feel like, oh, it finally kicked in. Like, I've been feeling just like a little bit of the edges come off. But it's funny you say that, because I feel like it is really hard when you're in a couple to make the morning sacred, but mornings are so sacred.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to be like, hey, like, I'm just going to get up at 8 no matter what.
Yeah.
And like start my day. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah. It's Brian's either how different. Do you like go for it, you know, but
it's hard because it's hard. The mornings were hard for me when I was in a relationship, because when I am in love, I can be really like self-sacrificial.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with someone who needed a lot and wasn't afraid to ask for a lot, but sometimes it would feel like it was a bottomless pit. And then I would feel bad about saying something. And I don't want to throw any signs under the bus, but I will say it was a triple water sign situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Like, every single sign was a water sign.
But like, what is water signs?
Feel water signs are very like it, unlike any other sign, immediately able to release a feeling. Sometimes not like, sometimes it's a superficial feeling that's covering up another feeling, which tends to, the superficial feelings tends to happen more with Scorpios, because your water signs, like, but inside of a shell.
With like Scorpio, a hard surface. Wait, Scorpio's water sign?
Yeah.
I'm always
Scorpio is a Cancer with a stinger.
LOL, because I literally have always like assumed since an early age, the second I got born, I started assuming that Scorpio was a fire sign, just because it feels like it should.
Scorpions
have the power of fire on their side.
Yeah, no.
And then, but then even Scorpio's when we were talking, even when we were talking about signs earlier, I almost said, like, did you know I never used to think that Scorpio is a ground or earth sign, but it is. And that would have been wrong too, ultimately, as interesting as that
is. Wait, Jess, do you know your Enneagram?
I do. I do. I have to. Oh, no, I just, you know.
I wonder if you're a two.
I am like a two. I was like three things solidly.
Because my boyfriend is a five. A two and a five. Okay, I'm trying to remember
what a five six, is. Maybe. Hold on. Let me text my friend and see.
We got to figure out.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Do you know yours, Pat?
What are you guys talking
Enneagram's
about?
Enneagram's like another kind of like.
Oh my God, there's too much. There's too much. I can't keep track.
But it's funny because the way you describe yourself in a relationship, that's like how my boyfriend is. He's like the helper type, and he has to actively like stop himself from helping me all the time because I'm like, give me stuff. Give me, give me.
Yeah.
I'm a four. And if you read about a four, it's literally just like, you're a bitch. That's what it's like.
You're a huge bitch.
It's like you take down everyone in your path.
I can be really self-sacrificing. And it's hard to like find that alchemy too, because another thing you have to remember when you're in a relationship is that you're still an individual and you are still ultimately responsible for your own safety, your own security, and your own happiness and like all your emotions.
It's so tricky. It's literally one of the hardest things in the world to like balance. And you don't know when you're being selfish or when you're being reasonable, or like there's just so much that can get, like it sounds like so simple and then it gets so muddled in your head to the point where you like don't know if what you're saying is even fair to anyone. You know what I mean?
Right. Why having a morning is important. So important. It just allows me to untangle the web and be a little bit more objective about my day. And now I don't write as much in the mornings as I used to. Now I listen to it's not music. It's like a
certain, like a frequency.
Yes. I listen to a frequency for 10 minutes and I chant this phrase that my Baba Leva gave me, and that's my morning. And it's really, I just realized this morning that the chant, I've been chanting the same thing, but I feel like things are opening up for me in my life and it sounded completely different in my ears. And I like opened my eyes and looked around and my cat was like looking at me like we both felt it. We're like, wow.
Your cat was mouthing like, well, it's, you know, really different. It's really different.
Wait, Jess, flower moon tonight.
Wait. Oh yeah, oh my god, that What the moon? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
The moon last night was crazy. It filled my whole apartment with light.
Oh. Where do you live? We can bleep it. I'm just curious.
I feel like I need to move to Brooklyn just because I do shows.
Yeah.
It does sometimes feel like a nice little protection, and it does feel like a little detox. Like, okay, I'm out of the scene. The scene is not my life.
Yeah.
But I am getting a little over the hour and a half commute.
Oh, is that what it is? See, yeah, I always feel like if you live on those like grud trains, like at the end of the day, like it's still, it can still be pretty quick.
The problem is all the good venues now are off like the R or the J.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. I mean,
to get back to the,
it's all good Gowanus.
Yeah. If you're going to Gowanus, you're almost never going to be happy.
What's off the J?
The mood ring, all the,
which is like,
yeah, all the bars that I'm still willing to do bar shows in because they bring like really good crowds, and or they pay like $150 if you perform.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see. I also would love to be bi-coastal. I need a backyard.
Do you like Los Angeles? Do you like Los Angeles, California?
No, I never did.
Are you leaving us? Are you leaving
us? No, I'm not. I never did. And then I went and I stayed with my friends Taylor and Holmes, and they lived in Highland Park, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's where
I love someone I know loves. And I like LA. I like LA, and not for industry. I like LA because nature is so accessible. Nobody told me you could see the mountains.
I know it's
heaven.
And the hikes that I went on and the neighborhood walks that I went on. I thought, oh, like I could live here and not have an industry job. Like,
but can I tell you something? Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something? There's a crazy amount of hills there, and you're always walking up a hill no matter what. No matter what you do, you're walking up a hill.
I didn't mind walking
up a hill.
It's because Pat loves to run so fast.
Which I don't mind running up a hill. The last thing I mind is running up a hill, Jess. I love to run up a hill when it's called for. But it's like,
you know, it's hard running down a hill, bad for the knees.
Well, it's just like the way that LA will have a hill, like it's almost like, oh, this hill for one doesn't necessarily need to be here. And then
Thing was driving on these hills. I'm like, how do you park? How are you parking? Please.
No.
When people, and then I'll see when a house is on a certain kind of hill that's literally a 90-degree angle, I want to knock on the door and be like, ma'am, like, how are you doing it? How are you making it work?
House is tilted. It's on the side.
Yeah, I'm like, ma'am, your house is going to fall over because of being crooked.
Excuse me, your house is on the side. Like, excuse me, ma'am.
Ma'am, your house is on the side. You want me to help you? So, yeah, that's what I've been struggling with Los Angeles. But I think it's so funny. Whenever I go, I also, like, or I guess this isn't what you were saying, but separately then, I have such a flip-floppy relationship with it where one day I'll be really like, oh, this is cool. I could see myself here. And then one day I'll be like, literally get me on the first helicopter out of here. Like, I need to leave.
But I feel like there's this trend now of comics that are just straight up bi-coastal. Like, they're here a little bit, they're in LA. And that I can really, really live behind. Because let's be real, New York will always have my heart. This city was my first partner. Like, I love it here. It was so magical. I'll never forget all the little touch of magic moments that this city's given me. And I think I did forget about a little bit in the pandemic because I never went out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, like, being back out, I'm like, fuck, I just remember how excited I was when I first.
The city never felt that magical to me for some reason. I've never been never been so enchanted with it. For some reason, I've never been so enchanted since.
Where are you enchanted by? Because you look up like Arizona.
I think I would be enchanted by upstate. I would be enchanted by.
That's my goal.
I think more like rural areas can enchant me sometimes, or like I just don't like being all on top of like. Everything.
You know, I think the key would be, you know, it would be so perfect, Jess, if you had a friend who also wanted to be bi-coastal and you guys could share the two places.
That's what I've been kind of sniffing around, is seeing other comedians that live by themselves in LA doing a little thing. I think, Pat, have you ever been to like the Pacific North Coast? Like,
no, but I'm going there in June. I'm going to Seattle and Portland. I'm very excited. I'm doing shows there.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like you'd like Portland.
Yeah, I bet I would be enchanted by Portland.
Yeah, I actually, funny enough, when I got the call to audition for a Shrill, I was in Portland and we had just left to drive up to the Washington State Peninsula and we were camping around there. And the thing, also Vancouver, you would love Vancouver. The thing that I forgot is that the Washington State Peninsula and Vancouver, they're all temperate rainforests. So you have these like,
oh really?
Yes, you have these incredible trees with all of this like rich moss life growing on them. Mm. And they look like portals to different, the nature is beautiful. And these big juicy ferns on the forest floor that look like you're in Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Does that mean it's really humid?
Yeah, but, oh, really? But it's not it's like hot. It can be humid, but it's not hot. You just
A lot of my favorite professional runners live in Portland, live and train and work in Portland. Okay. But what was I going to say? It's so funny because like I think I like nature, but I'm also not an outdoors person. Like I don't like being outdoors, but I also don't like
what do you not like about being outdoors?
I have nowhere to sit. I don't like being outdoors. I also don't like being indoors. So it's kind of like, where does she go? Where does she go now?
Where are we going to put this
once
one?
Once you get a fat stack, you need a cute little, once you get a fat stack of money, you need to buy yourself a cute little like Airstream or camper. So you can sit, you can experience outside. Because that is as a fat person that enjoys the outdoors, that is one thing I find really annoying is the accessibility is really bad.
Yeah.
And I feel like not everyone, like I have a friend, Emily, who could just like run barefoot and sit on rocks and be comfortable.
Yeah, I can. I wish Emily the absolute best in running barefoot and sitting on rocks.
Like unless that rock is completely flat, not cold, like, with a little bit of, I'm not comfortable. So
totally.
It's just about finding the right tools. And there's so much stuff now that like, you can figure out how you can meet nature and nature can meet you.
Isn't REI just absolutely incredible?
Wait, it actually really is.
Whenever I'm there, I'm like, I could be a whole new person.
Yeah, there is, this is like so, but like there is, and by this new PT I've been going to, like there was an REI. So for some reason, I always go in there after, and it is like, the possibilities do seem endless there. A little too friendly at the counters, though. A little too chit-chatty at the counters.
I've never been like a super REI person. For outdoor equipment, all of my stuff has always been like hand-me-downs. Like I'm always just hunting for what people buy and they usually overbuy what they need. And
then
I'll take that.
I would be like, I think ultimately my ideal is like, I like to be inside, but then I could go outside for like truly 90 minutes and have an amazing outside experience and then be very much inside of a space.
Yeah, you want like a cabin in the woods.
Yeah, I guess I in a way
have your little like.
You want a house, or would you be about a camper life?
I think I want a house.
Yeah, he wants a TV and like a big couch.
Yeah,
a TV and a big couch.
When I was, I went to school in Colorado for 2 years.
Oh really?
Oh my god, amazing!
The thing that I would do for every birthday and like any occasion or each time I had any extra cash was rent a cabin out in the mountains, and I was like with a hot tub.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yes. With a hot
Wait, we're in Colorado too as well.
Oh my God. I went to school in this place called Greeley, Colorado. And it is literally the town that South Park is like mimicking.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Fame to fame.
Yep. It's a dairy farm town and it smells terrible because every Thursday they would boil all the pigs. I mean, all the cow's blood. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They would boil the
And then it would
blood.
Get scary because you get used to it, so you never smell it. And then
shut the fuck.
Yeah. Oh, and then my parents would come and be like, "Jessica, what?
It smells like boiling blood."
But Jeff, clean your room. It smells like boiling cow's blood.
it's really like manure on fire.
Oh my
like
god!
On fire is what it smells.
I'm never
like.
Going there. I'm never going
I'm
there,
Jess.
Stop
inviting us there.
You go there because it had that school, the University of Northern Colorado, has a really good musical theater, fine arts program. Aisha Jackson, who was playing.
Oh yeah.
She was. We went to school together. Like she's from that program. They have some of the best singers. Let me be good. I don't want to get shady about about how rude some of the professors are, but they have some of the
oh my gosh.
They have some of the best.
So you're telling me there's a whole group of singers walking around New York City who know about the smell of boiling cow's blood.
Oh yeah, they do. They do.
They have amazing voices to prove it.
Is it Alt? That's incredible. Is it altitude there?
Yeah, you have a little bit of altitude, but you really when I got there, I think I got there on 420 and I fucked up. I thought I could keep up with everyone. And
oh my God.
I smoked them like a 4-foot bong at this house called Grandma's House. Everyone lived in houses. They named them.
That's cute. Oh,
yeah. I'm trying to think, where is everybody? Actually, one of my best friends that lived in Grandma's House is now, she's in Birthday Candles on Broadway.
Oh, cool.
Oh my God. I have to see like a Broadway show soon. I haven't.
I used to go all of the time, like get the TKTS like cheap tickets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I never understand how to do that. I'm always like, do I sit on this bleacher?
I don't think I remember how to play the game anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to see a play Thursday.
What are you seeing?
It's called Which Way to the Stage. It's a play with Max Jenkins. You know him. He's really funny. I heard it's really amazing. I'm excited. I think it's at MCC.
Ooh.
My brother got the tickets. I don't know.
Anyways.
Wait, so to finish our arc, Jess, who are you now?
Who am I now? Now I'm like an imperfect alien, but I'm okay with like not being right. Or I'm more okay with not being right. And I'm more okay with understanding that life is kind of, I don't know. I have way more gratitude. Less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my gratitude used to be like, please give me this and I'll be so grateful. Don't feel my gratitude of like what I need from you, universe. And now I am just more grateful for the little things, which I know is cheesy, but it's like, it's who the fuck I am.
Yeah. Do you live by yourself?
I do.
That's heaven. Do you love it?
Your place seems really nice.
I love it.
Sunlight coming onto the plant, like in the background.
I love it. There's actually a grow light because it's on. That's my
kitchen. There's an artificial sunlight coming onto the plant.
That's my kitchen. But the window this way, that's my view.
Oh, cute. Oh, shit. Oh my God, that's so nice.
That's so rare for New York to have all that
sky. I know, right? And it's an eastern facing apartment. So the sunlight comes in early in the morning in a really beautiful way. And I actually, almost every morning, I'm like, I'm really grateful for this.
Oh, isn't that the best?
Oh my God, your mornings. I'm so jealous of your mornings.
I know, you're really inspiring.
If I could have a morning like you, I think that...
Yeah, I think everyone should have a really sexy, romantic morning.
Yeah. Sometimes you wake up, though, it's so hard because
I feel like I always wake up 5 minutes before my first call, and then I'm like, fuck, okay.
I can't do that. I get so mad. But I used to get so mad, and then I would have shame the rest of the day and beat myself up. But now I'm way more flexible where I'm like, okay, so now the rest of the day, I'm just going to try and find an opportunity that's 10 minutes that where I like chant or I just sit or I talk to my cat. Like sometimes I just sit down and look at Mezzy and talk to him.
Oh,
see, I wake up and I'm like with a desperation in my eyes. Like I need answers.
You sleep with your phone.
My phone is charging near me, but I actually don't even necessarily reach for it first. I don't like, even that, because that's like, but that's like my other problem is like, yes, I'm addicted to my phone, but I'm also addicted to not being on my phone where I like block out the outside world. Like no one can get me, no one can get me, no one can get me. So usually I wake up in the morning as though I'm being like, it feels like a mob of people are chasing me with pitchforks. I need to like literally hide under a couch or something. And then I kind of like wait until the first thing is going to come, but like dread it. And no matter how much time I have.
You know what I started? My best friend, shout out to Jordan McClendon, MD.
Shout out,
Jordan. She's a naturopath, and she got me on this thing called Cordyline, which is like an all-natural Xanax. And I take half of it before... She was the one, too, telling me that I was waking up in panic attacks. I was like, I don't know. I wake up in the morning, and my chest hurts. Like, it's tight. And I feel like I forgot something, and sometimes I'm sweating. She's like, okay, that's a panic. And I would take half of it, and I realized it started working because I would start waking up some mornings just without a feeling. Just I woke up.
Imagine.
But the Cordyline is wake really, up without a feeling. Really, really good. It's like I think 1,000 milligrams of ashwagandha, which is a mood stabilizer.
I never know like what I'm allowed to.
Wow. You know, sometimes I'll literally wake up. So I wake up and I have fingernail prints in my palm
like because this. I'm
all night. Isn't that psychotic?
No, I have that too. Or like whole hand will be asleep because I had like my fist on my chest. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're all just like surviving. Try the Cordyline. The Cordyline really, really.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Is that C-O-R, Cordyline?
Yeah.
You know how you could remember it? It's like the movie Coraline, but with a T. And yes, I never saw that movie, but I remember the commercials.
Let me ask you this, Jess. What's your dream? Who do you want to be?
My dream is I want to be myself, but I know that I guess I don't ever, my dream is to never lose curiosity about growth.
Mm.
I don't want to become... So I don't want my trauma to cement me into being a certain type of person. I want to keep my curiosity and I want to be someone that I know, like I want to be able to look at my life and say like, I showed up for myself.
Yeah.
I showed up for myself. Yeah. I was my own knight in shining armor.
I'm like gonna cry.
I know I want that. I want to be
like my ancestors' wildest dreams. Like one day, I know, like when I die. Oh, I'm gonna get emotional. For the day that I die, like I want to look back and see all the people that I came from and see myself in them and see us together. Like that's.
Oh my God.
You're literally gonna be.
I know I'm getting emotional too, but that's like
so beautiful.
It's so refreshing to hear that too. Like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I'm like, okay, so do you think the acting path or the writing path?
So LA or New York, Dad? So who's your, are you a CAA or do UTA?
Oh. Or do you do UTA?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's amazing. Okay, that's my dream.
For the record, I'm with WME. Shout out to Katie. She's an amazing.
Oh my God, I love her.
Yes. And
I love her. Shout out.
I'm with Sam Safer, and she's a wonderful weird manager.
Incredible.
And I feel grateful.
Shout out.
Yeah. It's hard to find people who understand, like, I'm like a balloon on a 80-foot leash with, like, one tiny crystal grounding it. Making sure that it doesn't completely. And it's hard to find people that understand that, like, I am, like, up here, but I have a little bit of grounding. Like,
yeah.
You gotta move. I'm picturing how tiny the crystal is.
Yeah. You gotta move like from really there. Really, and if you come up too close, you'll spook me and I'll pop. So I have to, like, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
That's my dream, to really, yeah, just show up for myself. Because I really have, like, it's hard. It's
it seems like you really are, though. You have so many good like things in place. That,
I know,
like,
you have so many good practices, yeah, and like perspective, well, and reality.
You know, not to, I mean, I guess I can talk about this because it passed, but it got passed on. I was like going to star in a TV show and I was so overwhelmed,
mm-hmm,
because I was still working on myself, but I was in a relationship and it occurred to me like how much time and effort I had put in this relationship and I hadn't put in myself. And I was like, fuck, these are sort of mantras that need to be solidified and put into place before you break into the industry. Because once you're there, there's like absolutely no method to the madness. And yeah, not to use an improv metaphor, but if you do not have a strong baseline reality, you will get pulled in to the craziest fucking scenes and not know which way is up. And that became really apparent. Like I was overwhelmed, like, oh my God, I still have like very impulsive, connected to trauma money issues. And those things are not going to go away by me making more money.
Totally.
The stakes are just going to be higher and I'm going to destroy more things. Like, you know, now it's like, oh yeah, my rent is late because I decided I needed to buy like 6 plants, which I'm still that person, but I understand now when I like go to do those impulsive behaviors, it's because I'm like fucking sad or an emotion that I don't want to sit with.
Yeah, but you don't need to like beat yourself up more for it. You know what I mean?
And you also never know because sometimes these things come back around and like nothing's ever gone or real, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never have something, but you also never don't have it, if that makes sense.
Right.
So wait, before we go, does that Does anyone have a crush of the week? Crush of the week?
Oh, I will say, you know, we haven't recorded an episode since Real World New Orleans Homecoming started. I watched the entire original, and now I'm watching Homecoming. Oh. And my two crushes are,
I mean, my the world was back.
So they're doing like Paramount Plus, thank you, is doing this thing where they're like reuniting casts from like, you know, 25 years ago, and they stay for 2 weeks. It's been really fun. But they're doing New Orleans right now, which for something about New Orleans has such a personal, on certain people who like it, it's like, so there's a fandom of that season that for some reason is so specific.
Wait, is New Orleans with the roommate that would make her eggs a certain way? And somebody her eggs.
Which way? I'm sorry, which way? I need to know which way.
I mean, it's why I cooked my eggs the way I cooked my eggs for years. She would do 2 egg whites and then half of 1 egg yolk.
Oh my God. No, I don't think. No, I don't think that was New Orleans.
I would never cook.
They have a hot tub in the back.
Well, they all have hot tubs. Okay. They almost all have hot tubs. But
I remember Las Vegas, I think.
Yes. You might be thinking of... Wait, which fight was in Las Vegas?
I just remember somebody getting a dress ripped.
Yeah, Las Vegas was like a really, that was kind of a turning point season when it moved. There was like, I think like seasons 1 through like maybe 9, like maybe Vegas, New Orleans were very like social commentary, like real documentary, like this is young America.
Yeah.
And then with like New Orleans, they start, I mean, Vegas, they started shifting into more like
Jersey
party
Shore.
Jersey Shore type, and but whatever. But anyways, so my crushes are Danny from Real World New Orleans and Melissa from Real World New Orleans, both of which I think have shaped me and made me who I am today.
Okay, I have to look at it because I need to see if I watch this show.
I need to know who the egg girl is.
The egg girl, for some reason, I have no idea why I'm thinking of Tina from Paris. Because I remember there was a scene where CT kept showing her different ways to make eggs. But
Tina,
I don't know.
Tina from Paris.
I remember this Stouffer or whatever.
Yeah. So she's unfortunately went truly off of the deep end. And she definitely was in 2000, like, who MTV wanted to be like the star of the show. She was the season ended on a literal interview between Joy and like Larry King, because she was a Mormon and she was ultimately kicked out of BYU for going on the show. And she was like young.
I remember her.
Yeah, she was very memorable. Melissa is like hysterically funny. And she's gotten in a lot funnier event. And then Danny was the gorgeous gay man who was dating a person in the military whose face had to be blurred out because it was like, don't ask, don't tell.
Yes. And, yes. Yeah. I'm remembering. Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for letting me like.
Of course.
He was not going to release.
No. Real World is my favorite thing to talk about besides. Besides nothing.
Besides nothing. My crush of the week is Ryan O'Connell for letting us stay in his beautiful house in LA. But I have to say, having that house and staying there with you like made me like LA for once.
Yeah, I feel like guilt or something.
He is being in a house, a good
totally,
house.
Yeah.
Totally.
I hope we left it clean enough.
That's,
is that why you
that's why
there?
I'm feeling scared and go. But I did really work towards like
I left you there.
I know, but I have shame around my own trash. So I was like definitely trying. I took the trash out. The only thing is I took the trash out and then it hadn't been taken in the next day. I hadn't been taken, whatever. Well, you know
the trash situation is weird. The trash situation is weird in LA. Yeah.
I'm so
I don't understand how I get
my disgusting
up.
Trash.
People were leaving trash their trash bins like truly in the middle of the road. Where I was like, okay, I hope they come and get this soon, or else like no one's gonna be able to drive down the street. But whatever.
Right.
Anyways, that's my crush. Ryan and his trash.
Anyways, Jesse, you have a crush of the week.
Do I have a crush of the week? No.
That's okay. You don't have
that's
to.
That's a beautiful
that's
answer.
That's literally a beautiful answer.
But I do, I am watching, rewatching Atlanta at the moment. And I have been like very mentally horny for the mind that would create a show like Atlanta.
Totally.
That's a perfect crush of the week.
Yeah.
Totally. So I guess a mind.
It can be person, place, thing. Idea,
yeah. That, so yeah, I'm like horny in the mind for people who have like big thoughts. So I would say,
My thoughts are like notably small. My thoughts are like very about like me and only me and this much. Like tiny.
Oh, actually, wait. Who am I kidding? My crush of the week is Jess Tom. After their show, so good.
Oh, really?
Where was their show? I want to see it.
So good. I cried. I literally cried.
Where did they do it?
Oh my god.
They did it at the Bell House. But what it was so moving for me is the growth and the commitment and consistency and obviously love that Jess had to have had for being who they are and being in this game for 10 fucking years. And they started their show with a clip of them, I think at like QED or someplace like that.
Oh my God.
In a hat, like kind of cocked to the side. Like,
oh my God.
Giving total like kind of skateboard lesbian. And there's everybody that's having butterfly moments too. I'm like, I love it.
Amazing. Oh my god. And
do you guys feel hot today?
I don't because I feel not funny. I feel like I haven't been being funny this whole morning. I'm like stressed out.
You're perfect all morning.
I'm stressed out about it.
I feel hot and powerful. I'm like violently on my period, but I feel hot for the fact that I'm like, yeah, I'm violently on my period and what?
I love that feeling. I haven't had my period. My periods are all irregular and fucked up, so I like never get it.
Oh my
and when
God.
I do, I feel like so incredible. I'm like, hear me roar.
The thing
I wanna hear.
The thing that's
I just was singing that in the shower.
That's the so thing crazy. That has been happening with my period that used to never happen is that it's just so heavy. It used to just be like, and I get so puffy before. Now I look like I'm like puff, 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 and then I finally bleed and it's a storm. It's a massacre in a way.
Don't you love when it's like chunky? I love when it's chunk.
Oh, really? I feel like no. Oh, this is going to be a little TMI, but whatever. Maybe you edit it out. I don't know. But I love when it's.
I just asked if you loved when it was chunky, so I don't think it would be TMI at this point.
I love when it's like a good solid liquid because I pour that into my plants. As
really?
Not like as fertile.
Wow.
So next time somebody gets a plant from me, they're gonna be like, thanks.
I'm like, that's beautiful. You know, we have to plug a friend of the pod, Chloe Caldwell's book, The Red Zone, all about her periods and intense PMDD. A great book. Check it out. Anyways, I really do feel hot because I spent all weekend being a hermit and like got a lot of sleep. And so I feel
I love that. I love sleep.
It's the first time in my life. Like I even had to resist the urge to like make a plan for like a dinner or what. I was like, no, I'm not doing a single thing until I'm in the moment.
Yeah. Sometimes I need the space to be able to just, I call it like be in flow. Mm-hmm. Just be in flow and like be a wild woman. Like,
I need to be in flow.
Yeah.
I need to be in flow desperately.
I'll tell my friends that. They'll be like, what are you doing? Do you have any plans this weekend? I will say like, no, I don't have any plans, but I need to be able to do whatever I want this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My God. Yeah. Such a good feeling.
Yeah.
All right. We all need to be in flow this coming week.
Are you guys before we mad go, at me?
Are you guys that mad I've at me? Been... Jess, are you mad at me?
Are you mad at me?
No.
Jess.
No.
Okay.
Okay, Pat, are you mad at me?
No, I'm not.
We have to check in after the podcast.
We check in to see, like, who's mad at who, like, what's going on. No, I'm not mad at
you. Like, had a good time.
Are you mad at me because I haven't been, like,
funny? No, I'm grateful for you guys in this time on the pod. I'm grateful for you. I've been wanting to be on this pod forever, and then I finally was like, I will be, and then literally, like, 2 weeks.
Are you serious?
I'm not even kidding. I would always look and see and be like, so-and-so, you know how you do that? You're like, so-and-so, I want to do it next.
And then my God. Realize
that is not the energy of receiving. And then I was like,
it's so funny. Oh my God, I love doing it too. It's always heaven. I love when I get to a show and you're on the lineup because you crack me up so much.
Oh, thank you.
I know. Thank you.
Oh, I have a show May. I don't know when this comes out.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, what do you want to talk about?
Maybe even tomorrow.
Okay, great. I have a show May 29th at Union Hall. Follow me on Instagram for it's like my little solo show. Or I'll be
incredible.
Doing a little bit
May
more.
29th.
Incredible. Union Hall.
Jess Henderson, make it happen.
Thank you.
I love it. What are you calling your solo show?
Doing the Work.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's so fun. Amazing. Solo show names are so fun.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening.
And live, laugh, love you guys.
See treatment if you're boring.